Ever wish your kid's tutor really got them? Just imagine if your child with ADHD or dyslexia had a learning partner who could read their mind, not just their homework. Well, stop imagining. Meet TobysTutor.com, the AI-powered sidekick designed by Arlene Gajillan that actually adapts to your kid's needs on good days, tough days, every day. This isn't another boring worksheet factory. We're talking real-time scaffolding, frustration monitoring, and comprehension-based support that knows when your student's about to tap out and guides them back in. It's data-driven, engaging, personalized, and proven to work. Parents, educators, if you want to see holistic, next-level learning, you need to check out TobysTutor.com. Let me dive in. I'm going to introduce you to the creator. Welcome to today's show. Because today's guest is a seasoned storyteller, a digital content expert who spent decades shaping online media at the highest levels, including serving as the director of online content at Reuters, one of the world's most respected news organizations. But today, Arlene is leveraging her extensive expertise in digital storytelling and technology for a deeply personal and powerful purpose. Her latest project, TobysTutor.com, is an innovative AI-powered learning companion designed specifically to support students navigating the challenges of dyslexia and ADHD. By harnessing AI, Toby's Tutor offers personalized strategies, empowering students to unlock their full academic potential, build confidence, and transform their educational experiences in conjunction with the school. Join me as I interview Arlene and her journey through creating TobysTutor.com. But today, Arlene Gajillan is leveraging her expertise in digital storytelling and technology for deeply personal and powerful purposes, you guys. Her latest project, Toby's Tutor, is an innovative AI-powered learning companion designed specifically to support students navigating the challenges of dyslexia and ADHD. By harnessing artificial intelligence, Toby's Tutor offers personalized strategies, empowering students to unlock their full academic potential, build confidence, and transform their educational experiences. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Arlene. How are you?
Hey.
Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Thanks for that very kind and generous introduction, Joe.
Oh, man. You should hear the one that I'm going to put in before it. This is amazing. I'm so excited to have you on the show for so many reasons. Most of all, using your expertise, using your knowledge to do what you're doing is fascinating. And we need to get this out there so more people know about it. You're solving a huge problem, Arlene. And so as a principal of a public school that has experienced settings where this hasn't been in need for a long time, thank you in advance. I just want you to know that. Okay, I'm going to dive right in. I want to start with what inspired you to create TobysTutor.com. And how did your background in digital media shape its vision and execution? I'd love to hear that moment that, like, the idea clicked.
Sure. Well, like, as you know, I'm a journalist by training and a nerd by nature, and I've always been that way. But really, my biggest job is I'm a mom. I've got a kid, 11-year-old boy. Super smart, precocious, fun, crazy, all the things. He's dyslexic. We've known this for about 3 years.
Okay.
And we were fortunate in that, unlike many other families, we found this out early on and got him early intervention early on. And we're really fortunate to be at a great school, have great teachers, and certainly tutors in the past. I mean, he had an OG tutor, a speech therapist in the past. And even with all of that and being at a school that really a private school actually, that specializes in teaching kids with various learning differences, he was still struggling. And I went into mom mode and just kind of
love it.
Took the technology and whatever was in my head. And around the time that some new models were coming out, I decided, what can I do? Let me check out ChatGPT, create a custom GPT for him. I knew a little bit about prompting at that point and decided to feed it the information that I had, his IEP, his school report cards, his neuropsych evaluation. And I said, you know, prompted it to, please look at this information. You are an educational expert with special education background. Here are my goals for him. Ultimately, he wants to go to a mainstream school. I'm kind of agnostic about it, but that was his stated goal. He also wanted to be faster. He was having some confidence issues about not being as fast as his other classmates.
Okay. So
those were stated goals. And I said, help structure some lessons, run these lessons by me, we'll approve them, and then we'll let Toby play around with your lessons. And that was the start of it. That was back in February. And and
here we are in May.
I gotta be honest, like, you know, I consider myself relatively smart and digital savvy, but I was surprised about what it was able to do and how it was quickly adapting to his responses. It was meeting his, he's sassy, he can be snarky.
Yeah.
And it was meeting him exactly where he was. Like, it was giving and taking as good as it got.
Interesting.
That was a surprise to me, quite honestly. But at the core of it, you know, it definitely needed some course correction every now and again. I said, be more targeted about this, or that doesn't seem hard enough, or explain to me why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Where did you get the idea for this? You know, just the kernels of its own pedagogy, because I hadn't programmed that in. I just said, search the open web for what's available based on his learning profile.
I was going to ask you, did you program it something specific to give it that feedback?
No. I like with any of these models, they're best when you tell it who it is. You give it an identity and you give it a job. And then if you're too prescriptive, it will only do what you ask it to do. But if you give it broader parameters, it becomes
interesting.
Collaborator. And that's what it wound up being for us. So
we
played around with it for like 3 weeks, a month, and he was really into it. And he was just, Mom, can I have your phone? I want to log on. And so it wasn't me, it was him. He was like, we don't let him play video games. He doesn't have access to video games. He doesn't have a phone.
Okay.
So in a weird way, this was a bit of a treat for him. Like,
okay.
He had alone time with technology.
Sure.
That was, you know, we had guardrails around it, obviously. I could see all of his interactions. There wasn't anything I was blind to. So I felt comfortable with that. And he would disappear for like 20, 30 minutes and then come back. And he's like, that was fun. And then eventually he basically said, I think my friends would like this. Can you build something for them?
Wow.
And I said, okay. But, you know, a custom GPT is limited, right? Like, the only person who can see it unless you change settings is you.
Okay.
It doesn't share information with the model. So what you use a custom GPT for, by definition, is only for you. It doesn't train the model. So I had felt comfortable with that. But when he challenged me, basically, to build something for friends, like, how do I do that? And that kind of snowballed into what's become Toby's Tutor and a tech stack that... we actually filed a patent for, so we're patent pending.
All right, I like it.
The technology exists where we're actually leveraging several AI assistants to do what we do, which is essentially take a learning profile of any kid, match it against a database that we've built of best teaching practices, strong foundational pedagogy for kids with ADHD, kids with dyslexia, audio processing issues, speed processing issues, executive functioning, dyscalculia, and all of these things, right? And with the recognition that usually you don't just have one of those learning differences, there's some kind of combination that creates the unique learning profile, which is complicated.
Sure.
So we take the information through a questionnaire We have two pathways, actually. One through a questionnaire, predominantly, and the other one, which you share more with us, whatever you're comfortable with. Typically, it's going to be a student report card.
Okay.
We extract data from all of that, match it up against this pedagogy database. AI consolidates everything, comes up with long-term goals and a set of sessions to achieve those long-term goals. And so when the kid logs on, it basically can, in real time, adjust to how well the student is performing on the tasks that the kid's being given. So if they're flying through it, it will get harder in real time session. And then the next time, it gets even more progressively difficult so that you're working towards those goals.
Arlene, does it use Lexile level scores as well? Like, is there a universal language in the progression or lack thereof?
So not specifically those scores, but standard scores of what we consider mastery, right?
Okay, perfect.
So, it's basically being able to answer, I believe it's five tasks repeatedly.
Okay.
With accuracy that gives you a certain level of mastery. And what that does for the kid is, one, it unlocks a badge for them so that it's all gamified, so that they can get win streaks, they can get badges for reading, being a reading champion, a math wizard. We also have ones for attendance streaks, like, you know, there's the first steps, like, what can you do in the first week, and then the week warrior and the month warrior, so that, like, you're constantly engaging the kid to try to get them to come back and engage with the content. To make it even more engaging, part of the intake process for both parent and child is to identify what obsesses the kid. Is it superheroes? Is it Harry Potter? And, like, one of the tests we'll show later with a demo, one of the students is obsessed with Harry Potter. It could be Legos. It could be whatever it is. We can turn them into lessons so that the questions are all framed around the characters that they're already interested in. So it's really couching the education in their own obsession and interests.
Yeah, an extremely personalized way.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a whole question dedicated to exactly that. So. I mean, again, my mind always goes into a classroom, like a special day class, where you might have 6 to 8 kids in there, several different staff. Every single student, albeit on a different learning path, those learning paths are magnanimously different and so much further, you know, from floor to ceiling. And so something like this to not only bridge that gap, but also all the while you're telling me that you can connect what you like to learn about into how you learn better.
Yeah, I think for kids, that's the kind of secret sauce, right?
Like, that is it.
That's what, you know, especially for kids with ADHD, you know, if you're not connecting to what they connect to, you lose them.
Forget it.
So you've got to be able to do that. This was no small challenge, technically, I have to say, but we've managed, I think, to do it. And even so much so that you may start off with a set of interests and obsessions, but that might change over time. So the kid would say, you know, in the chat or the tutoring session, the AI will say, Are you ready for the next quest if they're into kind of these, you know, fantasy role-playing games, right?
Sure.
And then the kid would be like, I'm not into that anymore. I'm into, you know, something else.
Yeah.
So as soon as they type that in, it overwrites or pushes down in order the previous interests and obsessions in the algorithm so that it can stay updated from session to session over time. So that part's really cool.
I mean, I gotta say, most kids asked for like a toy or maybe a new game, and yours asked you to program an AI bot to solve a huge learning discrepancy. It's a cause for a major concern in public schools. And so this is so exciting. You guys can understand, my regular viewers, why I need you on this show. I have your AI perspective, but also we always focus on the executive functions of learning are lean. So students will be able to learn anything. I steal this Navy SEAL concept, where most people think the Navy SEALs are like these, trained assassins, albeit they may be. But in addition, they're also expert learners. So they can learn anything, and they go into any situation, regardless, usually a pretty terrible one, and they have to figure out solutions because they've honed in on the executive functions necessary, and that's been their curriculum. In essence, you are doing something very similar. I am so psyched about that. That is, oh my gosh. Okay. Bring me into it, if you will, a little bit. Let's nerd out on how AI can support learning differences such as dyslexia and ADHD. It can hold their attention with their personalized path. It could vary and stack the levels of the questions and the complexity of the questions, depending upon how well the student is doing. Give me some more. Let's dive deeper. What else are we doing?
So part of our patented technology and part of our application is really kind of, I was struggling to figure out a way how we measure in real time when a student is not only answering questions incorrectly, but to predict when they're getting frustrated. And so not waiting for the kid to be frustrated and check out, but actually predict first and proactively adjust so that you don't lose the kid.
Absolutely.
So we came up with, I say we, but it's me, in front of my laptop, came up with an algorithm that takes into account not only accuracy, but the kind of words they're using. This is hard. I don't get it. I'm not sure. And then, do they use a lot of question marks? Are they using caps? Are they like giving me exclamation points because they're frustrated? Mm-hmm. Or in the voice, because there's a speech to text capability.
Sure. Oh, right on.
So that transcription will also give me the same information that you might get from text. Are their responses getting longer? Meaning the gap between response and question, is that getting longer? That feeds this frustration algorithm that then before the kid checks out, we're already adjusting. And so there's this constant questioning of the kid. How does that sound? Does this make sense to you? Or it will sometimes say, let's do this together, rather than ask the kid to complete a task. It will prompt itself and say, let's do this together. Or in the kids with ADHD profiles, or even if they don't have ADHD, but part of their learning profile is that their stamina is not quite as strong.
Sure.
It will inject mindfulness breaks really quickly. So like in the testing I was doing last night of one of the kids who stated her love for all things Harry Potter, it would say, let's take a moment and close your eyes and imagine the ceiling in the dining room with the stars and the candles hanging. Let's just do that for 2 minutes and breathe deeply. And then it would come back and say, are you ready? Let's get back to work. So it is doing that on the fly.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, actually, when I got it to work. So
it's fostering social and emotional wellness.
Yeah. I mean, you make a really good point, because that was the other major thing that I wanted. And I think what makes Toby's Tutor different from some of the online learning platforms out there that are very much kind of skills specific, worksheet oriented, kind of templated approach. That works. Don't get me wrong. There are millions of kids successfully using these tools out there.
Explicit instruction, sure.
But for kids like mine and his friends And in these learning profiles, I honestly think the biggest key to success is not necessarily the skill itself, but the confidence to achieve a skill. For these kids who like are constantly maybe getting teased at school for being slow, not getting it, like having panic attacks before they read out loud in front of a class, like this is confidence stuff, right? Yeah. So I really wanted to bake in the interactions with a student in Toby's Tutor that it is, we meet you where you are. We're constantly giving you positive feedback. If you don't get something, that's okay. We'll give you kind of reminders throughout, like, that's all right, we'll get there. Let's mm-hmm. just keep working, so that it is about building confidence. And anecdotally, you know, when I was building it and I was having kind of a low technical moment and I was frustrated and tearing my hair out, and I was in the car with my kid and I was like, you know, I don't know if we can build Toby's Tutor. I'm hitting all these walls. And my kid was like, you can do it, mommy. That's what, and he referred to a lesson that, as I'm getting a little emotional, he referred to a lesson he had in Toby's Tutor. He said, like, I couldn't do it in the beginning, and it walked me through it, and I can do it now. And then I said, really? And he's like, yeah. And in fact, in Mr. De Leon's class, which is his math teacher, he's like, I used that moment to say, I can do this. And it was just like a seed was planted. It grew into like reinforcing me. And then he, without prompting, just from this interaction, which I didn't know anything about till after the fact, while I'm driving a car, he says, I remember that and I got through it in class. And if that experience can be replicated for other kids, that's a win. Like, that's,
I mean, absolutely. Arlene,
yeah.
That is unbelievable. I mean, think about the executive functions ingrained into his everyday living and what you're creating. Do you see this in schools? I know I've said this to you a million times. Do you think that this is something schools could eventually get their hands on?
You know, I was thinking a lot about that because it's a very different proposition to have a consumer-facing product, right? And one of the big things is data privacy and data security.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all kinds of rules about what information and documentation you can store as a business versus what a school can. And oddly, it's a lot easier in the school setting than in the business setting. Let me tell you why. And one of the reasons we basically redesigned the onboarding pathway, because we had gotten some early conflicting information about whether or not a neuropsych evaluation was an educational document or a medical document, which has vast implications. So if it's done by a private practitioner, it's considered a medical document. If it's done by a school, it's typically considered an educational document. So you're either governed by FERPA or you're governed by HIPAA.
Okay.
It is a whole different animal.
Okay.
That, as it turns out, would have pushed the launch date back beyond what I would be comfortable with and costs tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 or more in legal fees to set that up. Plus there's a regime of regular auditing to make sure that happens. I want to get there when we get to that at scale. But for the consumer version, so the workaround is we have two levels of onboarding right now. One is we basically mimic through a questionnaire what we probably would have learned if you were willing or able to share your IEP, your neuropsych evaluation, and student report cards, right? So that's one. And obviously it gets complicated because some people really are not willing to share that information, but in a questionnaire that is a little bit more generic, but still gets at the details that we need to create the learning profile and feed it to our goals AI and to our pedagogy AI. It still works. It works really well, actually. Mm-hmm. The second level is we can take educational documents. That's a lot easier to manage, right? So school report cards.
Okay.
Fine. If you opt into that level of sharing, we're set up already to securely store your information.
Okay.
We've put all kinds of ring fences around it. In a school setting, which is getting back to your original question, and I'm sorry I'm being long-winded about it.
No, it's fine.
Schools already have secure databases where they store IEPs.
Right.
And some school districts have databases that can store HIPAA quality data or data that requires HIPAA quality security measures. So if we were going to work with a school or a school system, we would have to work within that framework where we don't store the information, we vector the information so that we get what we need to build the plan, but we're not storing it.
The okay.
school is storing it.
The school does. Okay.
Everything just hinges on the individual student ID. So that unique number then is the key to unlock all the personalization we've talked about.
Okay.
So ironically, in a school setting,
same thing.
It's actually easier to do.
Okay.
Because we could get more detailed information about the child than we would necessarily through the questionnaire process.
Interesting. I know
rabbit hole of HIPAA and FERPA compliance, but
oh, it's an onion, right? Like the layers are intense, and I just remember being in public schools in New York City specifically and thinking the IEPs had to be locked up in a specific, you know, area. Sometimes there were even some regulations with regards to how special education teachers could share those documents with the general education teachers.
Right.
And it was like, what are we talking about here? Why can't we see this is a little bit at a time. I feel like that has relaxed. And I do think, you know, given it would be interesting because every student, regardless of state, gets what's called a state issued ID. Right. So they don't use their social security numbers. They're given a specific number. So their identity is already on a layer, you know, not attached to their name. It's attached to this number. So that's interesting that's how it works. And I only hope that at some point in time, you can bridge that gap. Because if people like, I'm almost thinking to myself, I have two kids. If I could give you their information, what bad could come of that?
You know,
are they going to give them tutoring forever? Are they going to, you know, make them learn on their level?
Yeah.
Like what, you know, I can kind of see, are they going to, I'm not giving it to someone else that's going to take it, you know, I don't know.
No, I hear you, but.
Tough pill to swallow, man.
People have, rightfully different privacy and data concerns. And obviously sure. The U.S. is far less strict than they are in Europe, where you're governed by GDPR compliance issues, right?
So interesting. Okay.
We are at the moment GDPR compliant already because basically what that means in that context is you have control over your own data, and there are certain European laws that mandate how you can have data removed from our servers.
Oh.
Our servers have to be based in the EU, so we've kind of structured that. We have certain servers and connected to the same database, but it's the records are actually located in different regions to comply with GDPR regulations. So we're set up to do that now. And my background, having worked in an international news setting where these concerns have come up before, it wasn't unfamiliar territory to me, which really helped.
Okay.
So we baked that in from the beginning. But again, it's no small task. It's a layer of complexity that led to moments where I was driving a car and feeling frustrated and trying not to have road rage while my kids in the back seat telling me to calm down.
I mean, try not to have road rage in the city as it is on a regular basis. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Holy, mind-blowing, right? We just pulled back the curtain on TobysTutor.com. And if you're not already thinking about how this could be a game changer for every student with ADHD and dyslexia, you're not paying attention. But here's the thing, words are cool, but you wanna see sparks fly? We're about to unleash the real magic, because in part two, Arlene's firing up a live demo just for us. No smoke, no mirrors, just raw AI power in action. You'll see how this tech spots when students get stuck, flips frustration into progress, and actually keeps learning fun. If you're ready for proof, buckle up, because the next part is where we get real. Hit that next video. Let's roll.